You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up.
Hi, this is Ian Robertson, formerly of the Dundee Stars, and you're listening to A View from Section C.
A View from Section C is sponsored by Don Michele, Italian restaurant, Exchange Street, Dundee. Hello and welcome along to episode 115 of the Don Michele sponsored A View from Section C. Senior, we're back after a week off. Sick note here.
Yeah, sick note. Shitting through the elbow needle and stuff like that.
And the Gary Glitters.
That's what happens when you go to the dodgy places and eat muck. That's what happens.
Glasgow.
Yes. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah.
Yes.
So people think it's me. I'm telling you, it's always you. It's never me. I always turn up.
Listen, fuck, come on, eh?
You know what I mean?
First time in a long time that I've had to pull it and say, I can't do it. Two days in my sick bed. 2 days.
Yeah.
And then I even got a message for Gary Monroe the day. Sorry, we'll need to edit this part of the show and take that name out. We didn't want any solicitors involved again.
Right,
but he messaged us the day and he went, what? Nay Section C again? My Gary, it's only Wednesday. I was away in Glasgow yesterday for work. He's a fucking minute, mate. Jesus. Yeah. Honestly, the fans, they want it. That's what it is. The fans need one.
It's just... You just didn't get a minute. What's going on? How's our new podcast? What's happening? You know what I mean? Junior, I don't think people realise how busy we are during the day at work.
I know.
Like, they must just think we saunter about our work and just funny about... You know, we're highly thought of in our businesses that we're working.
Well, you do.
Well, I am.
You saunter about funny, but...
No, me.
You just asked
the boys on the night shift when I rocked up at 4:30 this morning. Morning.
Well, it wasn't 4:30 yesterday morning because I drove past your work and there was no car there at 6:30.
That's because I meant to start at 7:00.
I went past at 6:00.
You must have just missed us. I've been at Starbucks.
Yeah. No, okay. Starbucks isn't open at that point. It doesn't open until 6:00. There was a man. Junior. In his van, sitting waiting. I had a nosy.
Listen, the Starbucks at the bottom of the Kingsway opens at 6:00. The one along from the work opens at 6:30. I've got it sussed out.
I know. Got it sussed out. Needs to be open early. It needs to be open earlier for us that need to drive through to Glasgow at 5:30.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I'll tell you.
I know. And then I can't have...
The Edits in Blaine.
Starbucks.
That pisses me off. They didn't open to fucking to 8:00.
Yep.
And they shut at 7:00.
Ridiculous.
You're on a fucking main road at a service station.
I know. Terrible.
Anyway.
So if you're listening, Starbucks, get your act together.
Oh, dear. Anyway, how are you now that we're back?
I'm okay. It's been a long day, as I say. I was in the work at 4:30, no meant to start at 7:00, but I was in at 4:30 because they catch up with the night shift. And then finish it back at 2:00, and then I'm up the camper down with the dog, wander around the golf course, back him, something to eat, and then you're like, link sent, and I'm on here. So there might be a lot of yawning going on. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah,
because you care what Kath Anderson's like. When you're sitting here and so if Kath's listening, she'll be yawning right now.
Yeah. Senior, we're going to start off the show with our honourable mention. And it's come to us for this week's honourable mention. It can only be to one person. This person gets a lot of stick about his ability, this person,
Gary Munro?
No, no. This person usually sits in the shadow of their sibling, but this week it's all about him. Our honourable mention this week is to none other than future Dundee Stars captain and Dundee hockey legend, Louis Thompson. Louis, last week, scored his first and second goal for the Stars under-19s. He did try to play it down a bit by saying, I was against Kilmarnock and we scored 15 or 19 against them. Another point. Louis, we're proud of you, son. Two goals. Yeah. It was two goals, was it?
Two goals. Yeah.
Two goals. Yeah. Two goals against our good friends in Kilmarnock.
I've still got the photo on my phone of the puck with the tape around it.
Senior has the photo of the puck. And we even got to hold the puck at the weekend.
That said puck, we actually got to touch it.
Yeah. The tape was ruined it. First under 19 goal.
Yeah.
Love it. So, honourable mention this week.
I think.
Louis.
I think his dad was a bit emotional on the bench, I think.
What was he?
He's trying to play it down, but I think he was emotional. I think it maybe got to him. I think there might have been a wee tear in his glass. But, yeah, sorry, Daisy. You're no more favourite this week. It has to be your brother.
Yeah,
but let's be honest. When it comes to next week, normal service will be resumed.
That's only if Daisy turns up after she never turned up this week because she went to Granny's for tea. So
yes, and we never even got an invite to Granny's for tea.
No, whenever. But yeah, Louis Thompson is our honourable mention this week. So well done, buddy. MB Valeting Services sponsor Two-Way Watch is back. So, Senior, we are now in playoff mode in the SNL. And it was good news and bad news. It was good news for the Kestrels as Josh Saunders is back. He was back the weekend before playing for the Stars in Cardiff and in Guildford. The doubleheader away weekend. So Josh is back. They were at Edinburgh and unfortunately lost by 5-0, but that was Josh's first game back for the Kestrels. The Kestrels then played North Ayrshire Wild the next night, beat them by 5-2, and Josh was 1+1 on the night. So an okay start for the Kestrels in their playoff push. Kind of then blends into two segments here with Rockets Talk and also Two-Way Watch because the Dundee Rockets were playing the Aberdeen Lynx on Saturday night. The Rockets off to an absolute flying start of their playoff campaign, beating Aberdeen by 4-1. Dom Jagler played the game, 40 saves. Still can see 40 saves as well. There was no Rowan. Rowan was not playing. But Rockets' goals were 2 by Rio Page, Sean Beattie, and Jack Henderson. Dale Shearer also with 36 saves. So really was battle of the goalie.
Defense is on top,
defense. Yeah. The Rockets then played the famous Paisley Pirates on Sunday through in Bray Head, and they shut them out in their own barn. 3-0. Goals again by Rio Page, John Gordon, and again by Sean Beattie. Dale Shearer, 23 save shutout, and a certain Mr. McCloskey with 25 penalty minutes.
Oh, dear. What has he done?
Don't know. I honestly don't know. I've been trying to find out all day. But there was somebody else for Paisley who had a five-minute major for fighting, and Sam was the only other one that had an odd number of penalty minutes. So I don't know if there's been five minutes like for five fighting.
Plus, 5+ game or?
Yeah, so it's been five minutes each for fighting, I assume. And possibly Sam with a game misconduct, maybe jumping in or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like a third man in, possibly. Auntie Berta. I know. Auntie Berta, have a word.
Have a word. Exactly.
Have a word. Good
start for the Rockets, eh?
Great
really
start.
Really good start.
Yeah. Considering we were sitting, standing moaning about it in the queue, about the format for the playoffs, in that it's 1, 3, and 5, so which is Rockets, Aberdeen, Paisley, and then 2, 4, and 6, which is obviously Edinburgh, the Kestrels, and North Ayr. And it's no offence to North Ayr, but it's probably a guarantee that the Kestrels and Edinburgh qualify for semi-finals.
Yeah, because the Paisley is one of those teams, that they could, if they turn up, they could cause a shock. Yeah, so
yeah, absolutely.
I would probably think the Rockets, especially with the Rockets being on the road twice and winning twice, that gives them a really good start. You would expect them to win their home games, but it's no guaranteed that Aberdeen will be the second team going through.
Yeah,
Paisley could turn them over if they really turn up and play the way Paisley teams can play. Ed, I must admit, I'm not too keen on the format. If we're going down as far as sixth, then just go the hell away, and just have the top team versus the bottom team, and then just work your way through for that and see what happens.
There's only seven teams in the league, though, which is the issue.
I thought it was it.
No, there's only seven, but the thing is then they just do what they usually do, and they do first versus fourth, second versus third.
Yeah.
What's the point in playing? You're literally just playing for positions all season and one team misses out.
Yeah, exactly.
Then go to a round-robin with them again.
Yeah. I'm trying to work it out in my head here. If the league winners automatically get a bye and then go 2-7, 3-6, 4-5, and then they three winners then go in with the Rockets, and then you hear Rockets carry top seed. But yeah, given what it is, what it is, the Rockets they're off their flyer, as you say. I expect them to now reach the next round and see what happens for you there. But they're hitting form. And like when you're going through the goal scorers there, there's a few, they're no unknown to us, but there is a few unknowns in there, like young Rio Page, people like that. And it's good because what I'm trying to get is the big guns haven't started yet.
Yeah.
You know, Doyle's no scored, McCloskey's no scored, McGiffin's no scored.
McGiffin's no playing.
What's going on there? Got homers.
He had that small niggle from the when he got injured at the, what do you call it, the league winning game against the Caps. I think the whole thing is that they're strong enough to keep him rested to get to the semis and then the final and play him at the bigger stage of the.
The guys you're expecting to score have no scored yet. That's which is always a good thing.
So a great start for the Rockets. We're going to bring it earlier into the show tonight, Senior. We're going to do Slimming World with Stella sponsored on this day. Now, listen, we had a week of a conversation on Friday, Senior, and Stella was brought up. I just want to confirm for your second favourite child, Senior, my sister, Stella. Stella,
no,
Lisa, Lisa did not have anything from the buffet at the party at the weekend. Okay,
that's because you're still doing well. Fucker.
I never fucking ate anything. Still spewing my ringer. She did not eat anything untowards. She was very well behaved, and there was no alcohol consumed either. So, she never cheated at the weekend. All right.
Yeah.
Just and need to clarify.
Even got a message after saying, yeah, this drinking malarkey is not too bad, is it? Getting up, be a clear head in the wadden shopping by fucking 9 o'clock. But yeah, listen, you and her are like Ryan and you're like Louie and Daisy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Any of you will be the favourite and any of you will winner. You know.
Yeah, we do. So on this day, the 26th of March, in the year 2022, senior, we recorded episode 17.
Wow, 17. Fuck's sake.
So 3 year ago, episode 17, and that episode was the Clan Meltdown from the night the night where What's-His-Face was going to kick dogs and kiss his sister and also offer dogs to fight Cameron. After the game.
Coach Cameron, was it?
Yeah. No. Was it? Aye. Who was the last one?
I think it was Coach Cameron. Was
I
it not?
I can't mind his name. I think you're right, but aye. That I was the Clan Meltdown when Cody Saul got kicked out. Colton Yellowhorn was getting it. Fucking big licks. Somebody else was kicked out. And I'm sure at the game, I can't remember what the score was. I think it was 7-3 or something, or 6-3. And I'm sure there was like 6 power play goals over both teams. Like, it was mental. 3 power play goals in the last 3 minutes of the game or something for us. It was brilliant. So, yes, 3 years ago today was episode 17. On this day, born in 1985, senior, a very good friend of ours from the SNL, Elite League days, and even went down to Slough to see him. But not necessarily went down to see him.
I know who it is.
1985, it is the one and only Brucie Ewan Forsyth. So happy 40th birthday to Brucie.
Yeah. Top man, Brucie. Done well for the Stars. And he was...
Did well in just, British hockey.
Yeah. When he played, even in the Elite League, he was like sort of like a Chris Ingalls, Craig Moore type of player. He just went about his job and nothing seemed to faze him. We're jumped down to Slough to see them as well.
Yeah.
Him and Chad and all the boys, that was a good trip as well.
Paddy and Ward. Wish.
Yeah, Paddy. Yeah. Keep in touch with the boys, it's good. Yeah.
So happy birthday, Brucie. And also born in 1988. Quite possibly one of the biggest letdown signings in Stars history.
Ooh.
And possibly one of the worst D-men I have ever witnessed to have played for the Stars and has something like the KHL on his pedigree. On this day, in 1988, was born Colin Onojo.
Oh my God. What a letdown he was, eh? You think... When you look at players' resumes and they've got the KHL on it, you're thinking, we're getting a top player. Yeah, he was at the end of his career, but even then, you'd have thought he'd have come in. Oh, my God, he was brutal, was he?
Now, listen, right? I know that he played for possibly the worst team in the KHL because he was based in China. His team was a Chinese team. And it wasn't the best of teams, but to play in the KHL, you still think he's going to be at a decent standard.
Yeah.
He was poor. He was very poor.
Yeah, he was.
One of the biggest letdown signings in Stars history for
definitely.
Me. So, yeah, happy birthday to Colin Joe.
In Austin.
on this day, 2016, we had an away first leg playoff win at the Cardiff Devils by 4-2. Now, the Elite League website was playing up a bit today. Yep, I couldn't get the goal scorers. But we all know that we came home and we shat the bed.
that was the Bow Brig game, was it?
Yeah.
It
was indeed.
We all went to the Bow Brig. Remember the boy, we got pez and sandwiches and that at the end of the at the end of the period. What a night that was.
I honestly didn't think he expected it to be as big as what it was. The place was mobbed with Stars fans. Absolutely mobbed. Sandy Dobson put that on. So you never know if we can't all get down. But we can get down to playoff games because Liz and the Dundee Stars OSC, glad you just said that because that's triggered me to remember to say this, are discussing about names for Belfast, possibly Nottingham, possibly Sheffield. We don't know who we've got still. There's still got four games left to decide that. But the OSC have got a post out. You can see Liz, Mama Betty, or Baby Betty on game nights. Liz will be down at the table at the cafe. If not, drop them a message on the OSC supporters Facebook page. You'll get them there as well. Maybe we could potentially do that again if Outkanny actually go. Maybe you get it on in a bar somewhere without telling them.
That's what I said like the last thing. Fuck.
Nottingham are able to. Nottingham put folks streams up in their bars, so how no abdi else?
Why don't they just put it up in the bar at the rink?
No, yeah, there is that. Yeah, but anyway, on this day in 2017, we had a home league loss to the Fife Flyers by 4-2. Goals by Kevin Broyston and Mikael Leithammer. And also just to say that the top point scorer D-man ever, that Cam McGiffin had an assist on Leithammer's goal there as well, surprisingly. In 2022, we had an away league loss at the Guildford Flames by 7-3. Goals by Alex Rongier, Charlie Combs and Sebastian Benson. And then on this day, in 2023, we had an away league loss again to the Guildford Flames, again 7-3. Goals by Johan Eriksson, Elijah Briga, and Johnny McBean. And that is on this day. Now, we obviously have a slight apology for me not being well enough to do the show last week. So we will quickly cover the two results from the weekend before and obviously discuss last weekend's game against the Coventry Blaze. So keeping in theme with on this day, Saturday in Cardiff, we lost by 7-3.
Stop it, Junior. You're at it.
Bradley Schoenbert, what a name, 11:52, put the Devils 1-0 up. Josh McDonald at 20:58 made it 2. Brett Perlini made it 3 on the power play at 25:21. Philippe Sange pulled one back for the Stars, assisted by Nass and Dow on the power play at 32:15. Tyler Bush made it 4 on the power play at 42:11. Josh McDonald again made it 5-1 at 44:27. 5-1. Then Stars had a slight fight back. Keanu Yamamoto on the power play, assisted by McBean and O'Connor at 48:17. Drag Die on the power play, assisted by Sekos and Nass at 50:16. Made it 5-3. Benjamin Almquist at 54:14 made it 6. And then Corey Donaghy at 57:33 gave the Devils a 7-3 victory. We then went into Guildford on the Sunday night, so the doubleheader away. Stars went 1-0 up through Philippe Sange, 15:31, assisted by Yamamoto and Brett Gravel. Daniel Catenacci, short-handed at 19:15. made it 1-1. No goals in the second. Brendan Harms put Stars 2-1 up at 40-27, assisted by Nas and Sekos. Zach Sekos made it 43-23, assisted by Harms and Pouncey. Ethan Strang pulled one back at 46-54. And then Brendan Harms with the icing on the cake to make it 4-2 at 52-59, assisted by Moore and Nas. So, a 2-point weekend then, senior, which I'm happy enough with, considering...
I feared the worst after we'd got bit 7-3 in Cardiff, going into Guildford. But Guildford's one of the places that we've had wins in there. We've also had defeats in there. You just don't care what Stars team you're going to get in there. Mm-hmm. But considering we got beat 7-3, it was good to see them turn it around and come away with 2 points. If you'd went down there, if you'd got beaten overtime or penalties in both games and come up the road with 2 points, you'd have went back well. That's what we've done, eh? So considering what happened on the Saturday, absolutely delighted with the result. Overall, I thought it was probably sort of what we were going to expect, being honest with you. Get a couple of points and then just get back up the road and then basically get ready for the Coventry game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a pleasing 2-point weekend from the two difficult fixtures on a double header away. We come back up the road for our only game last weekend on Saturday at home to the Chaventry Blaze. So next sights at 2:47 put the Blaze 1-0 up. Spencer Nass equalised at 8:44, assisted by Harms, with it being the only goals that period. Alessio Luciani made it 2-1 at 32:18. Brendan Harms equalised at 36:49, assisted by Nass and Moore. Coventry took the lead again in the third period through Chase Gresick, who is now the league's top goal scorer after the weekend, at 44:02. Brett Gravel, which is not Brett Gravel because it was Keanu Yamamoto, equalised at 49:59 for the Stars, and then Alex Kukali at 52:48 gave Blaze a 4-3 victory. Right, where are we going to start with this one?
It's a strange one, eh?
Okay.
I don't think we were as bad as what a lot of people made it. I thought we started slow, and when they scored, we came into it, and then I actually thought, overall, I thought we dominated the first period. And we didn't start the second half that well, and Mark called a timeout, which I'm going to touch on later on. I just couldn't figure that out whatsoever. I don't know the reasoning behind it. I thought it was a strange decision to make. We then went back out after that, and we were hemmed in for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then from there, I felt there was only going to be one winner. I think, I don't know what was said at the time, but it had the opposite effect of what was meant to happen. And I think everybody could see that we were chasing the game every time. Yeah, they went 2-1, we went 2-0, then at 3-2, then it was 3-0. And you knew, I think if we'd got to overtime and got beat, I'd have been happy with the point.
Yeah, yeah. I think the game really probably was it. I think the game was an overtime game. I think, like you say, I thought we came out very poor in the first, I thought, for the first maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes. They obviously scored, we then got going, we scored, and we thought we were kind of dominant in that first. I thought the second and third, I thought we were poor. I didn't think we were great. I thought we were poor. We didn't really, I think there was a lot of people quite greedy with the puck, and Mark even alluded to that. Guys trying to deep through players, never going to happen. I think the game deserved an overtime. I think both teams, I wouldn't say both teams deserved the point. I would say that both, you know, it was that poor a game that both teams were going to get a point. Like, it wasn't deserved a point. It was both teams were should have had a point because it was poor. I'm gonna bring it up now, senior, because I've been waiting all week to bring it up.
Go on then.
Andy fucking Dalton. We have a big game in the league, and we decide to bring us up this fucking shit show to referee a game. Now, Ferguson called nothing the entire game. Not a single penalty. I don't even know if he even gave any of the goals. Maybe one of them. But he called nothing. Throughout the game, there's things happening on and off the puck. There was the whole thing with Pulio and what's his face? Fucking Jurgens.
Yeah.
Pulio cross-checks him a few times. No call. Jurgens and Pulio give each other a wee push in the face with a glove. No call. This is at a point of the game where nothing's really happening. So maybe, oh, you know what? 2 years. Let's go then. You know, didn't start your shit now. Let's go. We come down to the final minute of the game. Now, listen. Harms has absolutely given Dalton the chance to call it. But Ferguson's standing looking right at it. The guy pushes Harmsy in the face first. Harmsy gives him it back. And Harms is the one that gets the penalty. Because Dalton's thinking, I'm going to make an example of somebody right now.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you.
It's bullshit. Right?
It is bullshit, right? But the game was done. Right? It was having no effect on the game. Right?
I don't know.
I wouldn't have even called the penalty if that was me. I'd have just let the two of them fucking go. And you're either calling two of them, or you're calling none of them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But at that point, what is there, 11 seconds or something like 15 seconds left or something? Maybe more than that. I don't know. But that's a face-off in their zone for us to pull the goalie. So regardless if you think the game's done, the game's no done.
Nah, that's it.
For the play that is waiting to happen, the game's no done for me.
And then you've got the scenario we Sekos, and for me this is when I'd like to get referees mic'd up again. They've done it before, and I'd love to get referees mic'd up during games so you could hear them, because it'd be interesting to find out how that conversation we Sekos and Dalton went. Sekos was in a rage, and I don't know, and it's no like him, right?
No.
It isn't really. Sekos, I think, is a fantastic player. Any of the guys I would bring back in a heartbeat. I've said it before, he's that Jailer Tulip type of player. He could be niggly if he wants, but he's a very, very skillful player, and complements Nass and Harms very well. And I've never seen him like that. Okay, he's had a couple of fights, but even then, he wasn't angry as that. He was fucking raging about something. Probably about
the
calls that Dalton was going on. Now, somebody says, and I get what they're saying, somebody says, where do you see the cross? Why is it a penalty on Sekos? It is, right? He cross-checked.
It's a cross-check. Oh, yeah, I seen it at the time and said,
yes. Fuck. However, and this is the argument that somebody else had. The Sekos cross-check him if the boy is not covering the puck at the face-off. And I think that's maybe where Sekos has cross-checked him and then argued you've allowed him to lay on top of the puck.
Yeah.
Or at least cover over the puck. So he's cross-checked him. But by the laws of the game, it is definitely a cross-check. It is.
Yeah.
and it's frustration, right? But I can understand why he's done it, because he's not been allowed to play the puck fairly at the face-off. And that's what happened, right? But it'd be interesting to find out how that conversation went, because similarly, the guys behind the penalty boxes just heard explicit coming from Dalton.
Yeah.
And as you said on social media, I don't think Sekos had been saying, "Oh, Mr. Dalton, that wasn't a very good call, was it?" Fuck off, Sekos. But Andy, come on now. He was covering the puck. Fuck off, Sekos. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It'd be interesting. But I understand what you're saying, right? Everybody will complain about the referees, right? Yeah. We were at home. Fife were at home. Glasgow were at home. The three Scots teams were at home.
Three Scots teams were at home, yeah.
So, logistically, why would you get Dalton, who's coming in from Belfast, to travel the furthest? I'd just put him in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Got the Scottish referees to come up here. Now, we could have ended up with Toby, we could have ended up with Brown, any of them, we could have ended up with. Would it have changed the game? Who knows? Who knows? I think that in the last couple of minutes, when we set us in harms, me personally, I don't think it was going to ever change again. I think we the way the game had played, I just couldn't see us scoring again anyway. So I think the game was done. I just find it really, really disappointing.
It's one of those ones though where, you know, I've thought that before, and we've pulled the goalie and scored and tied the game, and we're like, fucking hell, we've stole that one.
We've seen it.
Yeah, like,
How many times have we all sat at a game going, fuck it, he's pulling the goalie, fuck, they're going to score, because we never score, and we've scored.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's always that chance. I just felt that defensively, overall, throughout the whole game, I thought Coventry were better than us, defensively, and I think that's what won them the game. Yeah. I've said it before, the guy Robson is a decent goalie.
I was about to say, I would disagree with your point of the defence was better. I would actually just say that their goalie stood on his head and kept them in it. There was some world-class saves at times. Other times he just did his job.
He's a decent net
man. There was some phenomenal saves at times throughout. So that was my point. Dalton has come up here again and ruined the ending of a game, or he's affected the outcome of what could have happened in a game. You know, I'm not blaming the referees for the whole game. It was that last minute of the game where he's made a big call that he's not called all night. A one-goal game when the Stars are going to pull the goalie and he calls that pish. You call it the whole game, or you let it go.
I put it on social media, right? Say that's so. Belfast have got Nottingham twice before the end of the season.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think Dalton calls that at any of their games?
Oh, does he fuck? Title on the line? Does he fuck?
There you go. I'm saying that's where referees should be held accountable. Yeah. Who watches them? Who supervises them? Who marks them for their game performances? I don't even think anybody does that now. I don't know. I honestly don't know. And if I'm wrong, I'd love somebody to sort of give me the heads up and what happens now. I remember it used to be Michael Evans that used to do it and guys like that. But still, the referees still get a free rein then that nobody is supervising them and judging them on their performance. Because, like, as people, they've got people's livelihoods, right? And again, that's a bit dramatic, but they're professional ice hockey players. right?
Yep.
And they're deciding games. Me personally, that I think the game was done, and I'll stop saying that. But it shouldn't be them that's deciding games. It should be the players that are deciding games. Yeah. You know, that not the officials.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we again, obviously, everyone knows that referee basketball as well. We had a playoff semi final at the weekend, and that was what we said going in the last couple of minutes of the game. We're letting the teams decide this. We call the elephants, not the mice. So we call the big things, not the small things. Let them dictate how the game's going to finish. Let the teams decide it.
You call the things that you've got to call.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If it's 50-50, let it fucking run. The harms thing, let it run. Yeah. Set-offs, yes, it's a cross-check, but he's probably done it because the boy's covering the puck. So either let it go or call the guy for covering the puck at a face-off.
Mr. Premier Sports, as I'm now starting to call him, because he seemed, that's the only time you really see Dalton's when he's on the fucking telly. I've just checked. He's not on tonight, though, for the Clan Guildford game that's on Premier Sports tonight. He's not on that. It is Toby and Pavel. Probably because they can't afford to bring him up on a Wednesday night. So, league standings then, senior, coming into the, it is the business end, but the really the business end now. Four games left to play. Manchester in ninth, 42 points through 50 games. Stars in eighth, occupying that last spot, 46 points through 50. Glasgow qualified for playoffs now, 51 points through 49. Guildford, 53 through 50 in sixth. Coventry, middle of the table, 58 through 51. Cardiff in fourth, 62-50. Nottingham, 70 points through 50 games. Sheffield, 71 through 50 games. And Belfast, 72 points through 49 games. Games tonight, Belfast host the Fife Flyers. So probably a guaranteed 2 points for them. Nottingham at home to Manchester. So, obviously, we're hoping Nottingham do us a favour there as well. But also be good for Nottingham just to keep that pressure on Belfast a wee bit, considering their final two games are home and away with them. And then, obviously, Glasgow and Guildford tonight as well. Four games to go, 4-point gap. Did you come up? I don't care. I think we could beat any of the three then.
Belfast. No.
But I didn't want Belfast to win the league anymore. I used to not like Belfast. I used to tolerate Belfast over the other lot, especially Sheffield and Nottingham. See now, the entitlement from Belfast is unreal. It absolutely stinks there now. So I didn't want them to win the league this year. I think they'll do it, but I didn't want them to.
It's not a case of I'd like to see them win in the league. I'm looking at it from a Stars perspective, and I would think that if we're going to stand a chance of getting through, I think Belfast is the two games that we're probably, we have more chance in than Sheffield and Nottingham. But,
yeah.
Listen,
we'll see.
We'll get who we get. That's what happens when you finish eighth. You end up being the fucking league winners, so you deserve what you get for finishing eighth.
Yeah. Senior, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. We've touched on quite a bit of it as we went through the show, Junior. I think the good is looking at that league table is there's still a gap between us and Storm. They got Nottingham tonight, Wednesday night. Away from home, I think you said. So, yeah, we're probably desperate for a Nottingham win here. Let's be honest, because if Storm, even if they take 1 point out of that, the pressure is coming on us thick and fast there. They're not going away. Yeah, they like that big jobby when you flush it, it just doesn't go any place. So, yeah, but that's a good. There is still a gap between us and Storm. I'd like to think that we must win more home games. The bad is the loss at home to Blaze. If we're wanting to qualify for the playoffs, right, there's only one spot now, really, and it's eighth place. We've got to be winning our home games. Coventry, Cardiff, and Fife. So that was a big bad for me, was losing that game and not getting in. And the ugly, believe it or not, we have touched on it, and my ugly is the timing of that timeout. I cannot for the life of me fucking fathom why he called that fucking timeout. It's bugged the life out of me. And I think it bugged the life out of a lot of people at the game because we got worse after it. It didn't help with, and it probably, as the game got closer to the end, Mark probably could have been probably standing there thinking, fuck, if I'd only had a timeout now. Because he couldn't have gotten on. Because he'd used it for whatever reason at the start of the second period. Blows my mind. So, to me, it was an ugly timeout. And it probably contributed to the defeat. So, that's it, Junior. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly for this week.
Good. Okay, so it brings us on to our final segment of the show, which is our Liam Mean Tattoo-sponsored game preview. So, Senior, Saturday night away to the Sheffield Steelers, and then Sunday at home to the Cardiff Devils. Sheffield,
the league chasing Sheffield Steelers at that. It'd been better if they'd fucking either been out the race or they were at the top of the league and gone.
Cardiff didn't really give you a hand at the weekend by losing to Manchester 6-0. That really didn't help anybody.
They're at it. I'm telling you now.
So Sheffield, Saturday, my three players to watch, we've got Patrick Watling, top point scorer for Sheffield this year, 50 points through 49 games. Mikko Yusola is their top goal scorer with 24 goals. And the boy Levens as well. He was the top goal of the week. But also, he had 4 goals in the game against the Glasgow Clan last weekend. He's starting to pick up a bit of form coming into the playoffs as well. So that's my three guys to watch out for on Saturday against
the guy Levens. The guy Levens was getting a bit of a hard time for Sheffield fans. I think he's.
Yeah.
I can't remember if he was there last year or if it was the start of this year. And he was really, really good. And then I think it was after the Champions League. His form went right down the hill, but he started picking up again. And he's a very, very good player. Overall, listen, they're up with that top end. They dropped a few games, which could potentially cost them the league now. But they'll be there or thereabout when it comes down to the final four as well. It's there. See the top three, the Belfast, Sheffield, Nottingham. They're the one that you don't want. You really want them. If we're finishing eighth, you're wanting Belfast or Nottingham to win the league. I just cannot see us doing Sheffield over two games. I just think overall they're far too strong. You've mentioned three names there. There's a lot more than that, eh? Let's be honest.
Eh? We said it the last time we got them and beat them.
Junior.
It's different teams. But still did it.
Listen, this might not go down well with people, right? But that Stars team, right, that beat Sheffield twice, right, had a bit of fight about them. and they had a bit of dig about them, and they had top player that they just didn't know when to give up, right? And they done someone that was just unexpected. But when you've got boys like a Benson, Combs, Sodge, Haas was there patrolling it, right? Dryden was on top for, yeah, why was in the goal? Big Joe, was Big Joe in the goal? No, I can't remember why I was in the goal. That's how fucking, why was in the goal? You're laughing.
Was, that mean Adam Morrison.
You're thinking? Adam Morrison. There you go. Right, experienced netminder. Right, it's just any of the things.
That, I was laughing you said Big Joe. That was about fucking nearly 10 years ago, Big Joe.
I just get what I just remember that Joe played in the playoffs. Yeah, but you're right, it was Adam. But they had someone about them, eh? I just don't think on paper the team we've got this year is any place near that team. And that's how I think if we get Sheffield. If we take someone on Saturday, I'll be honest, I think it'll be a small miracle if we do.
Okay, score?
6-9.
Fuck. Stars? Okay, I'm keeping in theme with the show this week. I'm going 7-3 Sheffield. And if we come here next week, we're a fucking 7-3 scoreline. Cardiff on Sunday. So look at it that way, right? So we are away at Sheffield on Saturday. Manchester are away to Nottingham tonight. So we're hoping that, you know, that's a loss there. If we lose, we're down to 3 games with 4 points ahead. We're at home on the Sunday to Cardiff. Manchester are away to Belfast on the Sunday. So you're hoping again it's 2 points for Belfast. And we pick up a point, that's it done. Playoff secured. Only 4 to play for after that. So,
yeah.
Cardiff Devils, players to watch out for. Josh McDonald, 54 points in 48 games. He's in the top 5 top point scorers in the league. Joey Martin, 5 points in his last 5 games.
Wee prick.
And I called him out last week for a player to watch, 2 weeks ago, Zach O'Brien, 33 assists in 43 games.
Yeah, this is now a case of, this is the must-win games now. That's what we're saying about when we drop points against Coventry.
Yeah.
Cardiff at home and Fife at home. Could you imagine having to beat Fife on the last game of the season to qualify for the playoffs?
Yeah.
Right. They will be laughing their cocks off if they stopped us for reaching the playoffs after the shit fest that they've had the whole season, and they stopped the rivals for getting to the playoffs. But Cardiff, listen, I've always said it, getting amongst them, we're at home. There's been a lot of talk on social media this week about atmosphere at games and things like that. And there seems to be a bit of a lackadaisical sort of attitude around the rink and things like that. See, on Sunday, the Rockets managed to do it. They put the lights out. How do we know put the lights out? How do we know how the disco lights are going on when the team comes?
We hear the lights out. We just didn't hear the lights on.
You know what I mean? Just do something. Do something to get the players up for a game, and do something to get the fans up for a game. And then if the two of them come together, anything could happen. We are more than capable of beating Cardiff at home. More than capable. And it's a must-win game, so I'm going to say that we're going to win. Okay. And I think we're going to win 4-2.
So I have said 4-3 Cardiff in overtime.
because that's going to be the point that we need to secure a playoff spot. So, yes, Manchester away to Nottingham tonight, away to Belfast on Sunday, and then at home to Guildford on the Friday for the last weekend of the season, where we are away to Glasgow on the same night. And then Manchester are away to Fife on Saturday. And obviously we have Fife at home on the Sunday. So we could also potentially know before we play Fife on Sunday if we've made it or not. So I'm hoping we do. Because Sunday is my last home game of the league season. Assuming we make the playoffs. Because I missed the Fife game because I'm in Ireland. International basketball duty calls again, senior. So Sunday's my last home game for the league. If we don't make the playoffs, it's my last home game of the season. So
it should never have come to this. Never have came to this. But it has.
I think we'll be sitting here next weekend qualified. A point against Cardiff will be enough.
I'd like to think that my prediction, if that comes through, then that'll be the 2 points and we'll have qualified as well. But Manchester, it's Manchester. They do things that some teams just done a day. They beat Cardiff 6-0. And you think, where the fuck did that come from? And stuff like that, you know. But it could just be that Cardiff, what have they got to play for now? Can't even think back to the league table. Could they get caught? Yeah, they can. So they've still got something to play for.
Well, the thing is, though, they can only swap home or away. That's all they could do, is home or away between them and Coventry.
So
they will finish fourth or fifth.
53. Maybe
Guildford.
Guildford. Actually, Glasgow as well. Because if Glasgow win tonight, they'll go to 53 as well.
So it really depends.
Yeah,
it depends on what everyone does below them. But Cardiff could only finish They could only finish fifth, I think, if Coventry go above them. Is that right?
Right.
Yes. They can only finish fifth if Coventry go above them. If they can, if they don't, then they're finishing fourth. So they've not really got anything to play for.
Which is maybe the worst thing. Because sometimes when teams relax, they just go out and really enjoy themselves and play. And
But hopefully
you're right, Junior. Hopefully we'll have done it by Sunday.
Playoff clinching weekend.
Yes.
Excuse me. I did sneeze right at the end of the show there. Listen, thanks everyone for joining again. Be sure to check out Don McKelly at the new establishment down Exchange Street. They've been absolutely buzzing already the first week or so that they've been open. It's been absolutely mobbed. So make sure you book in tables down there. We will see you all on Sunday for a big, big game against the Cardiff Devils. To quote, biggest game of the season. Listen, you just keep moaning about it. It's not just down to me. Bring the noise with you. Be chanting across the other side. There's folk across the other side that moan about it. I look over and they're not even chanting when we're chanting at that time or banging the drum or that. So, listen, we said it a couple weeks ago. We're in it together. Let's get over that final hurdle and let's clinch that final playoff spot.